Hello, I'm Brian Tracy, and welcome to Crunch Time. No matter who you are or what you're doing, every person and organization experiences problems, difficulties, unexpected reversals, and crises that can knock you off balance and often threaten your very survival. It's estimated that every business has a crisis every 2 to 3 months that, if not dealt with quickly and effectively, can threaten the survival of the enterprise. Each person has a crisis, personal, family, financial, or health, every 2 to 3 months that can knock you off center as well. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. It is only in crunch time that you demonstrate to yourself and others what you're really made of. As the Greek philosopher Epictetus once said, circumstances do not make the man, they only reveal him to himself. Your crunch may come in the form of declining sales, reduced revenue, and low cash flow. You may lose a major customer or major sale. You can have unexpected costs or reversals where you lose your entire investment in some part of your business. People inside and outside of your company may turn out to be incompetent or dishonest. You may be lied to, cheated, and betrayed by your friends and colleagues. A major customer may go broke without paying you, leaving you stranded financially. Your bank could cut off your line of credit. A major source of revenue from sales or borrowing could dry up. You could be unexpectedly and unfairly fired and find yourself out on the street. You could have personal problems with your family, finances, or health. In every case, you suddenly find yourself against the wall, in a crunch, with success or survival in the balance. From the time you start in business, you will be confronted with problems, difficulties, temporary failures, and challenges of all kinds. They never end. No sooner will you solve one problem than you'll be confronted with another, often larger and more complicated. By their very nature, sudden challenges, unexpected problems, and crises come unbidden. They are unwanted, unexpected, and often serious in their implications. They are unavoidable and inevitable. You can never stop them completely. The only part of the challenge-response equation that you can control is your response. You can only determine how you respond to the inevitable ups and downs of business and personal life. Your response is under your control. For this reason, your personal level of response ability determines your survival, success, health, happiness, and prosperity. By responding effectively, you rise to the inevitable challenges you will face all your life. In learning to respond effectively, you will continue to grow in knowledge, experience, wisdom, and maturity. It was written that the north wind made the Vikings. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger." The only way that you can realize your full potential and become everything that you are capable of becoming is by dealing with crunch time effectively. The only way that you can achieve all your goals is by responding and reacting effectively to the inevitable crises of day-to-day life. The key to performing at your best during the crunch times of your life is for you to focus single-mindedly on the solutions rather than the problems. The more you think about possible solutions, the more and better solutions will occur to you. The more you think about solutions rather than problems, the more positive, focused, and creative you will become, the more in control you will be. The most important quality of leadership is the ability to function well in a crisis. It can be said that leadership is the ability to solve problems of all kinds, including huge problems that arise suddenly and unexpectedly. Success is the ability to solve problems. The most effective and respected people in every field are those who are the most capable of dealing with the problems that arise in that field. The good news is that you have within you right now everything you need to deal with any problem or crisis you face in life. There is no problem that you cannot solve by applying your intelligence and creativity to it. There is no difficulty you cannot resolve by intense concentration. There is no obstacle that you cannot overcome or get around if you are determined and persistent enough. There's a little poem that says, "For every problem under the sun, there is a solution or there is none." If there is a solution, go and find it. If there isn't, never mind it. Your job in crunch time is to rise to the challenge, perform effectively, and continue to move onward and upward. Here are 10 ways to perform at your best when the you-know-what hits the fan. Number 1, stay calm. You have a wonderful mind with 100 billion cells, more powerful than any supercomputer ever built. Your brain can store libraries of information throughout your life, which you can access through your memory in a couple of seconds. Your thoughts are extraordinarily powerful, with the ability to make you mad or glad, positive or negative, excited or calm. Your thoughts, the thoughts you think, determine the emotions that you experience. When you find yourself in crunch time, when you experience a sudden setback or reversal, your very first job is to seize control of your thoughts and feelings to assure that you perform at your best. On the wall of one of my classrooms in school was a poster showing an extremely agitated man running around. It said, "When excited or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout." This is exactly what many people do in a crunch. Your natural tendency when things go wrong is for you to react or sometimes overreact in a negative way. You feel angry, upset, disappointed, or afraid. These stressful thoughts and negative emotions immediately start to shut down major parts of your brain, including your neocortex, the thinking part of your brain that you use to analyze, assess, solve problems, and make decisions. If you do not assert your mental and emotional control immediately in crunch time, when things go wrong, you will automatically resort to the fight or flight reaction. You will want to either counterattack or retreat, neither of which may be the right strategy in a crisis situation. The starting point of staying calm in a crisis is for you to refuse to react automatically and spontaneously. Instead, take a deep breath to calm your mind and then think carefully about your next words and actions. Imagine that everyone is watching. Imagine that this situation is a test to see what you are truly made of. See yourself as a leader. You set the tone for those who look up to you. Imagine that everyone is waiting to see how you will respond. Resolve to set a good example, to be a role model for others, to demonstrate the correct way to deal with a major problem as if you were giving a lesson. The primary source of negative emotions is frustrated expectations. You expected a thing to happen in a particular way and something altogether different has happened. You immediately respond in a negative way. This is quite normal. The two major forms of negative emotions triggered by a crisis or setback are the fears of failure and the fears of rejection. You experience the fears of failure when you are threatened with the loss of money, customers, position, reputation, or the life and well-being of another person. This possibility of failure or loss, especially regarding money, triggers the emotions of anxiety, stress, or anger. The fear of rejection is closely associated with the fear of criticism or disapproval, or failing to measure up to the expectations of others. When something goes wrong, you often feel as if you are not capable or competent. You feel embarrassed and deficient. You lose face. Your ego is threatened. These reactions are normal and natural. All that matters is how you deal with these fears. Remember, your response to the crisis is everything. This is the test. Instead of overreacting, take a deep breath, relax, and resolve to deal with the problem calmly and effectively. Psychologists have determined that your explanatory style largely determines your thoughts, emotions, and subsequent actions. Your explanatory style is defined as the way you explain things to yourself. Fully 95% of your emotions, positive or negative, are determined by the way you interpret the things that are happening around you, by the way you talk to yourself. If you interpret the unexpected setback in a constructive way, you will remain calm and in control. Although your mind can hold thousands of thoughts in a row, it can only hold one thought at a time, and you are always free to choose that thought at any moment. Whatever thought you choose at the moment will determine whether you become angry and flustered or remain calm and collected. Remember, most things in life don't work out, at least initially. Remind yourself that problems and difficulties are a normal and natural part of life. They're unavoidable. The only thing you can control is how you deal with them. Keep yourself calm by refusing to catastrophize. Refuse to interpret the problem to yourself as overwhelmingly negative. Very few things are ever as bad as they seem initially. The four most important words for dealing with any crisis are the words, "This too shall pass." Instead of overreacting, keep yourself calm by asking questions of the other people involved. Listen patiently to the answers. If there's a solution, your job is to find it by fully understanding what has happened before you respond. Sometimes, talking over the problem with a spouse or a trusted friend will help immensely to keep you calm and controlled. Go for a long walk and review the situation calmly, examining it from every angle, seeking for a possible solution. Remain optimistic no matter what is going on. Look for something good in the problem or situation. Very often, what appears to be a major setback is an opportunity in disguise. The complete failure of a project, process, or business venture can be exactly what you need to trigger you into focusing your time and resources in another direction. Especially, no matter what happens, seek the valuable lesson in every difficulty and setback. It seems that within every problem you face, there is the seed of an equal or greater benefit or advantage. When you discipline yourself to look for the good in the situation and to seek the valuable lessons that the situation or crisis might contain, you automatically remain calm, positive, and optimistic. As a result, all the powers of your wonderful mind remain available to you to solve the problem or resolve the crisis. When you face crunch time, take a few minutes to close your eyes, breathe deeply, and visualize yourself as calm, confident, relaxed, and in complete control. Resolve to be positive and optimistic around other people. Speak kindly and courteously. Act as if you don't have a care in the world and that whatever has happened, it's not really bothering you at all. Number 2, be confident in your abilities. A major setback can shake your confidence in yourself and your abilities. The natural reaction to an unexpected reversal of fortune is for you to feel stunned, shocked, and angry, as if you have just been punched in the emotional solar plexus. This is normal and natural for all of us when we experience sudden reversals and disappointments. But no matter what happens, remind yourself that you are a thoroughly good person. You are a person of character, competence, and intelligence. No matter what has happened, you have the ability to rise to the challenge and deal with the situation. Talk to yourself positively to rebuild your self-confidence. Say things like, "I like myself. I like myself. I like myself." Whenever something goes seriously wrong, you experience the fear of failure, as I mentioned before. You immediately experience this fear or feel it in your stomach. You may feel that you are not capable or competent. Sometimes you feel like a loser. When things go wrong in spite of your best efforts, you'll often have feelings of self-doubt. Fortunately, you can neutralize these negative feelings by saying firmly to yourself, "I can do it. I can do it. I can do anything I put my mind to." Tell yourself that you can do anything that you resolve to. Tell yourself that there is no problem that you cannot solve. Look upon the solving of the problem or the resolving of the crisis as a test of your character and intelligence. See it as a challenge, something that has been sent to you to help you to grow in knowledge and wisdom. The only real antidote to worry is purposeful action in the direction of your goals. Instead of becoming upset or doubting yourself and your abilities, decide to take action, any action, to resolve the difficulty and get yourself through the crunch. Remind yourself that problems come not to obstruct, but to instruct. Especially, don't take the setback or problem personally. In business, no matter how smart or experienced you are, fully 70% of your decisions will turn out to be wrong or disappointing in the fullness of time. Don't be surprised or upset when negative things happen to you. They happen to everyone who goes into business or who accepts a position of responsibility in any organization. As they say, problems go with the territory. Self-confidence comes from a feeling of forward motion toward your goals. So get so busy working on the solutions to your problems that you don't have time to worry about what has happened, especially things that you cannot change. Number 3, dare to go forward. When your business hits crunch time, you must make the survival of your company your primary consideration. Desperate situations often require desperate measures. You must be prepared to do whatever is necessary to resolve the crisis and save the situation. The most common quality of leaders throughout the ages is the quality of vision. Leaders have a clear, exciting vision of where they want to go and what they want to accomplish sometime in the future. They articulate this vision clearly to the people around them. This vision then serves as a guide to motivate and inspire people to achieve at ever higher levels. Vision is what separates leaders from followers. The second most common quality of leaders is courage. Churchill wrote that courage is rightly considered the foremost of the virtues, for upon it all others depend. The fact is that everyone is afraid. We all have fears of different kinds, small and large, hidden and exposed. As Mark Twain said, courage is not lack of fear, but control of fear, mastery of fear. In crunch time, you must draw on your courage to make hard choices and decisions and to do the things necessary to assure the survival and well-being of the people and organization that depends upon you, even your family, and especially your family. The worst effect of the fear of failure is that it can cause paralysis. People go into a state of emotional shock, like a deer caught in the headlights. They freeze up. The fear of failure can cause even strong people to become indecisive and irresolute. Emerson once wrote, "If you would become a success, you must resolve to confront your fears. If you do the thing you fear, the death of fear is certain." You develop courage in yourself by facing your fears and doing the things that you are most afraid to do. In business, the greatest fear, after the fears of firing, financial loss, or bankruptcy, is the fear of confrontation. Many people are afraid to make hard choices and deal with people in a clear, unequivocal, and straightforward way. They fear angry responses, argument, and conflict. This inability to confront people both inside and outside of the business can often be fatal to the enterprise. Fortunately, courage can be developed by acting courageously. When you do something that you feel more courageous. In life, the courage follows the courageous behavior. You become courageous by acting courageously even when you don't feel like it. As Emerson wrote, "Do the thing and you will have the power." Don't be afraid to make hard decisions, especially with regard to people and expenses. When your business experiences a sudden crisis, you must go into crisis mode. You must act as though your business were on the verge of failure. If you were threatened with bankruptcy, what actions or cutbacks would you make to save your business? Whatever you would be prepared to do to save your business sometime in the future, do it immediately. Don't delay. Be aggressive about defending and protecting your business and your finances. Don't be afraid to discontinue, downsize, or eliminate any business activity. If necessary, don't hesitate to lay off or fire people who are either unnecessary or incompetent. The fear of firing an incompetent employee in a key position is a major reason for business failure. An old man once said to his grandson, "Act boldly, and unseen forces will come to your aid." The author Dorothea Brand once wrote that the most important advice she ever received was, "Act as if it were impossible to fail, and it shall be." There are two parts of courage. The first is the courage to launch, to begin, to step out in faith with no guarantee of success. This is an essential part of courage that you can develop with practice. The second part of courage is the courage to endure, to persist in the face of disappointment and temporary failure. Your job in business is to develop the courage to do whatever is necessary to fight the fire, to solve the problem, and to get through the crunch. Number four, get the facts. Perhaps the number one reason for success in life is clarity about who you are, what you want, and the details of the situation that you are facing. The more and better information you have regarding the exact nature of the crunch that you are dealing with, the calmer you will be and the better decisions you will make. Jack Welch, ex-president of General Electric, perhaps the top executive in the world at that time, said that the most important of all leadership principles is what he called the reality principle. He defined the reality principle as facing the world as it is rather than as you wish it would be. Whenever he would go into a problem-solving meeting at General Electric, his first question would always be, what's the reality? Harold Janine, who built IT&T into a 150-company international conglomerate, often said that the most important element in solving problems and making good decisions in business was to get the facts. He said that facts don't lie. You must get the real facts, the true facts, not the alleged facts, the assumed facts, the hoped-for facts, or the imagined facts. Get the real facts and make your decisions based on them. Whenever you face crunch time in your life or business, mentally call a timeout in the game and focus on getting all the information you can about the situation before you make a decision or overreact. Ask questions and listen carefully to the answers. What is the situation exactly? What has happened? How did it happen? When did it happen? Where did it happen? What are the facts? How do we know that these facts are accurate? Who was involved? Who is responsible for doing or not doing certain things? The very act of asking questions and gathering facts keeps you calm and increases your courage and confidence. The more facts you have, the stronger and more capable you will feel about making good decisions to solve the problem and get through the crunch. Remind yourself that what cannot be cured must be endured. If something has happened, if it is a past event that cannot be changed, it falls into the category of facts. Never worry or become upset about something that you cannot change. Focus on what you can do, not on what you cannot do. Especially during the process of fact-finding, resist the temptation to become angry or to blame others for their mistakes and shortcomings. This is not the time or place, if ever. Focus instead on understanding the situation and determining the specific actions you can take rather than apportioning blame to those who are involved. Some of the best questions you can ask in any crisis situation to achieve clarity are, what are we trying to do and how are we trying to do it? What are our assumptions in this situation? What if our assumptions were wrong? If we were wrong with one of our major assumptions, what would that mean? What would we have to do differently? Never assume that you have all the information or that the information you have is correct. The more important the particular fact is to your decision-making, the more essential it is that you check and double-check to make sure that it's true. Finally, in achieving absolute clarity about your situation, do not confuse correlation with causation. The natural tendency of most people is to jump to conclusions too quickly. In many cases, when two events happen at the same time, people assume that one event is the cause of the other. However, very often two events occur simultaneously, but neither event has anything to do with the other event. Assuming causation between the two can lead to confusion and poor decision-making. Don't let this happen to you. In any crisis situation, when you experience crunch time, imagine that you are your own management consultant, brought in to analyze the problem situation objectively, like a problem detective, without deciding in advance what is to be done or not done. Get the facts. Facts don't lie. If you get enough facts and check them carefully, the proper solution and the right thing to do will gradually emerge. Number 5, take control. When things go wrong, when you experience sudden reversals and disappointments, your natural tendency will be to respond with negativity, fear, and anger. Whenever you feel hurt or threatened by loss or criticism, you react to protect yourself with the fight or flight response. As a leader, your first job is to take firm control over your mind and emotions, and then to take control over the situation. In that order. Leaders focus on the future. They focus on what can be done now to resolve the problem or improve the situation. They focus on what is under their control, their next decisions and actions. You must do the same. When a company gets into serious trouble, the board will often fire the existing president and bring in a turnaround specialist. The turnaround specialist immediately takes complete control of the organization. He centralizes all decision-making in his office. He takes control of all expenditures, right down to signing every check, so that he knows exactly what monies are going out of the company and to whom. To be your own turnaround specialist, to take complete control over your organization or business in a crisis, the first thing you must do is to accept 100% responsibility for yourself and for everything that happens from this minute forward. Leaders accept responsibility and take charge. Non-leaders avoid responsibility and pass things off onto others. Especially, you must keep yourself positive and focused. You do this by reminding yourself with these words, I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible. Say to yourself, if it's to be, it's up to me. Above all, refuse to blame anyone for anything. Anger and negative emotions of all kinds are dependent upon blame for their very existence. As soon as you stop blaming other people for what has happened and take responsibility for the future, your negative emotions cease, your mind becomes calm and clear, and you begin to make better decisions. The mark of the mentally healthy person is his or her level of resilience in response to the inevitable ups and downs of modern life. As Speaker Charlie Jones says, it's not how far you fall, but how high you bounce that counts. When you experience crunch time, when you have a major setback or difficulty, your job is to rise to the challenge, minimize the damage, and lead your organization or family into the future. Focus on what can be done rather than who is to blame. If someone has dropped the ball, instead of being angry or punishing, treat the person with kindness and compassion. Recognize that everyone makes mistakes. Things go wrong all the time. Even the very best and most competent people do foolish things occasionally, as do you. There's a famous story about Thomas J. Watson, Sr., the founder of IBM, who called a young vice president into his office after the vice president had just lost $10 million of the company's money developing a new product line that had failed. The vice president came into Watson's office and said immediately, I know that you're going to fire me for losing all of that money. I just want you to know that I'm sorry and that I will leave without causing any problems. Watson replied with these famous words, fire you? You must be kidding. I've just invested $10 million in your education. Now, let's talk about your next assignment. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Even the best of people, including yourself, make mistakes. When it happens, focus on damage control, on what can be done in the future. Then, take a deep breath and let it go. That's the key to taking control of any business situation. Number 6, cut your losses. The most important quality for success in business in the 21st century is flexibility. With the explosion in knowledge and technology, combined with a rapid growth of determined competition, both nationally and internationally, products, processes, services, markets, and customers are changing at a more rapid rate today than ever before. You have to be flexible in the face of this rapid and ceaseless change to maintain your mental health, much less to survive and thrive. Charles Darwin wrote, "Survival goes not necessarily to the strongest or most intelligent, but to the species that adapts and adjusts most rapidly to changing circumstances. Remember, fully 70% of your decisions in business will turn out to be wrong or disappointing over time. Fully 70% of your products and services will not succeed in the marketplace or not succeed at the level that you had expected. Fully 70% of your staff will not turn out to produce the quality of work that you had hoped for. Even the best decisions you have made can be invalidated suddenly because the situation or circumstances will have changed in the meantime. Perhaps the most important tool that you can use to remain flexible and adaptable in turbulent times and to deal with the inevitable crunch times that will befall you is what I call zero-based thinking. In zero-based thinking, you stop, stand back, and look at your business objectively, as though you were an outsider looking in. You ask this question: is there anything that I am doing today that, knowing what I now know, I wouldn't get into again if I was starting it up again today? Discipline yourself to ask and answer this question honestly on a regular basis. It takes tremendous courage to confront the reality of your current situation by asking the knowing what I now know question about everything you are doing. Is there any product or service that, knowing what you now know, you would not offer or bring to the market if you had to do it over again today? If there is, your next question must be, how do I discontinue this product or service, and how fast? Management expert Peter Drucker calls this the process of creative abandonment. You must be prepared to abandon any product or service that is draining time and resources away from the sale and delivery of more popular and profitable products and services. Is there any activity or business process that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't start up again today? Is there any expense, method, or procedure in the operations of your business that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't start again today? Is there any person in your business who you would not hire back again today, knowing what you now know? If the person walked in today and applied for their current job, would you hire them for that job? Is there anyone in your business who you would not promote, assign, or give a particular responsibility to, knowing what you now know? The failure to ask and answer this question honestly can often lead to the downfall of a business. If there's anything that you would not get into again today, knowing what you now know, you must move quickly to cut it off and get out of it as quickly as possible. This can make the entire difference between the success or failure of your business. Cut your losses. If ever you would downsize, discontinue, eliminate anything or anyone to save your business, you should do it immediately. Don't delay. Cut off all non-essential expenses and eliminate all non-essential activities. Get back to basics. Focus on the 20% of your products, services, and people that account for most of your results. Your ability to cut your losses and your willingness to make the hard decisions necessary in a crisis largely determines your success or failure, both in the short term and in the long term. Number 7, manage the crisis. In a fast-changing, turbulent, highly competitive business environment, you will have a crisis of some kind every 2 or 3 months. This will be a business crisis, a financial crisis, a family crisis, a personal crisis, or a health crisis. By definition, the crisis will be a major problem or setback, completely unexpected, disruptive, and taking precedence over whatever else you are doing at the moment. A crisis forces you to go on to red alert. The crisis is the critical moment in your business. This is the testing time. Whatever you choose to do or fail to do can be extraordinarily important and have significant positive or negative consequences on the future of your business or your personal life. When the crisis occurs, there are 4 things that you should do immediately. First, stop the bleeding. Practice damage control. Put every possible limitation on losses. Preserve cash at all costs. Second, gather information. Get the facts. Speak to the key people and find out exactly what you're dealing with. Third, discipline yourself to think only in terms of solutions, about what you can do immediately to minimize the damage and solve the problem. And fourth, become action-oriented. Think in terms of your next step. Often, any decision is better than no decision. Remind yourself that you are up to the task. You can do it. You can find an answer and resolve this crisis. You have all the skills, intelligence, experience, and abilities that you need to handle this crisis effectively. Remember that there is always an answer, a solution of some kind, and your job is to find it. Often, the solution is contained within the problem. One of the key strategies for business and personal success is called crisis anticipation. This strategy is practiced by top people in every field, executives, managers, entrepreneurs, and leaders, especially military leaders. You practice crisis anticipation by looking ahead into the future 3, 6, 9, and 12 months and asking, what could happen to disrupt my business or personal life? Develop a contingency plan for possible emergencies and crises. What steps would you take if something went seriously wrong? What would you do first? What would you do second? How would you react? Develop a scenario, a storyline, and a plan describing how you would handle a negative situation if it occurred. This is called extrapolatory thinking and is the hallmark of superior men and women. They look down the road into the future, imagine what could happen, and then come back to the present to plan well in advance of the possible occurrence. J. Paul Getty, at one time the richest man in the world, was once asked how he thought about risk. He replied that when he entered into a business deal, the first thing he asked was, what is the worst possible thing that can happen in this situation? He then made every effort to guarantee that the worst possible outcome did not occur. You should do the same. According to the Stanford University research into the top CEOs amongst the Fortune 1000 corporations, the most important single quality they identified was the ability of the individual to deal with a crisis when it occurred. How you manage the inevitable crisis is the true measure of your level of wisdom and maturity. Your ability to anticipate a crisis and to learn from a crisis is absolutely essential to your ability to deal with subsequent crises when they occur. Number 8. Communicate constantly. Fully 85% of your problems in business and personal life are going to be caused by your inability to communicate effectively with the important people around you. In crunch time, you must keep the key people inside and outside of your business informed about what's going on. This can make all the difference between success and failure. Resolve to practice a no surprises policy with everyone. Surprises are seldom good. Nobody likes to hear bad news through the grapevine, especially if they feel that it is being kept from them for some reason. People are highly emotional about both their money and their work. As a result of early childhood experiences, most people react in a negative way at any threat of losing their money for any reason. Employees feel threatened and become very emotional if they feel that their job or pay is threatened. In many cases, crunch time in your company will be caused by a cash crunch, a dramatic shortfall of the money you need to run your business. In this case, you must move quickly to stop the bleeding and to comfort and reassure the people who can be affected most by these financial problems. Sit your staff down and tell them the situation clearly and calmly. Explain exactly what has happened, without exaggeration or excitement. Explain to them what you are going to do to resolve the crisis and what each of their roles will be in helping your company to get through this period of difficulty. Ask for their ideas and suggestions on ways to cut costs or to accelerate payments. Ask them if they have any ideas to help you get through this crunch. You will be amazed at the quality of the suggestions that you get from your people if you invite them, and even from your family members if you invite them as well. It's said that the only thing faster than the speed of light is the speed at which a rumor about your business spreads both internally and externally. No matter how much you try to keep something secret, the worst possible news will get to the worst person who can hear it at the speed of summer lightning. I've had people at my seminars tell me casually about a cash crunch of a client on the other side of the country, which later turned out to be true. The speed at which people find and transmit this information is faster than the internet. When we were children, the rule was, beat the news home. In other words, don't allow the news to get to the critical people in your business and financial life ahead of you. Be sure that you are the one who tells them, and who tells them first. If you have financial problems, practice the no surprises principle with your bank, your suppliers, and each of your creditors. Tell them your situation before they find out indirectly. Whatever you do, do not hide your financial crisis or stonewall on the payment of your debts. With your bank, go in person and sit down with your banker. Explain to him the situation that you're facing. Explain that it is temporary and that you have embarked on a plan of action to resolve your financial problems. Offer to pay interest only on your loans until you have turned the situation around. What many business people do not understand is that a non-performing loan becomes a red flag and a major problem to the banker in charge of your account. He has no choice under banking regulations but to act immediately to protect the bank's assets by seizing your bank account or even foreclosing on the collateral that you've put up for the loan. However, if you agree to pay interest only, the loan continues to be classified as active and performing, and it triggers no consequences. Learning this little factor saved my financial life some years ago. With your creditors, call or visit them personally and tell them your situation. Don't refuse to pay your bills, or pay them late, or send them checks for which you have insufficient funds. Instead, explain your financial situation and offer to make monthly payments of smaller amounts until you get your financial situation under control. Business people, your suppliers and vendors, are quite aware that their customers occasionally experience cash shortfalls. They are usually experienced and as a result are quite reasonable. But they like openness and honesty, not subterfuge and denial. If you tell them straight that you have financial problems and assure them that you will pay them in full as soon as you're back on your feet, they will usually relax and cut you all the slack you need. Here's an important point. There are some things that you can delegate and some things that you must do personally. If you are the commander-in-chief of your company when your business runs into financial trouble, it is you and only you who must personally deal with creditors. You cannot assign this to an accountant or a clerk in your office. This is something that only you could do, and it is an unavoidable part of your leadership position. To accelerate cash into your business, go to your customers who owe you money and ask them to pay you immediately. If necessary, give them discounts and bonuses for immediate payment. Often, you can get them to buy your products and services in advance of their requirements by giving them a special price if they pay you immediately. Many people have pulled themselves out of a financial crunch by simply contacting their best customers personally and asking for their help. If your financial problems have been caused or exacerbated by a customer or customers who have not paid, go and visit them personally and ask for payment. Demand it if necessary. Remember, this is crunch time. Be prepared to threaten them with court action if they do not pay. Under our commercial laws, the failure to pay a bill when it is due entitles the creditor to go to the court and petition that company into bankruptcy. The courts tend to move quickly to shut down a company that is not paying its bills. Usually, a company will find the money to get rid of you if the alternative is to have their doors closed by the sheriff. Above all, you must be courageous and aggressive in communicating and contacting the key people who are or who can be affected by your financial problems. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. No more than a soldier who was wounded on the battlefield would be ashamed or embarrassed about his wound. It's a normal, natural, and unavoidable risk that goes along with the job. Number 9, identify your constraints. Between wherever you are today and wherever you want to be in the future, there is something, often several things, that are holding you back. For you to get out of the crunch that you are in and achieve your business and personal goals, you must identify your constraints, those factors that are restricting your progress. The starting point of constraint analysis is for you to be absolutely clear about your goal. What is it that you want to achieve, avoid, or preserve? If it is financial, what specific amount of money do you need to generate, and in what time period? The greater clarity you have about exactly what it is you want, the easier it will be for you to determine the best way to achieve it. Write your goal down in the present tense. For example, you could write, "My goal is to generate $50,000 in cash by May 31st. This type of goal is measurable and specific. This level of clarity makes it easy for you to determine how close you are to achieving it. It includes a deadline that you can measure your progress against. Once you have determined your goal, make a list of the steps that you will have to take to achieve that goal. What are the various things that you must do to get from wherever you are to where you want to go? Once you have a goal and a plan, you then ask yourself, what is the limiting factor in achieving this goal? What is your main constraint or bottleneck? Another way to phrase this question is, why aren't I already at my goal? Your goal may be a certain level of productivity, a certain level of sales, or a certain level of gross or net profit. The main constraint can be mechanical, manpower, financial, sales, or customers. There's always one main constraint or choke point that determines the speed at which you achieve your most important goal. Your job is to identify that constraint clearly so that you can go to work to alleviate it. The 80-20 rule seems to apply in constraint analysis. In this case, it says that fully 80% of your constraints will be internal. They will be inside of yourself or your company. Only 20% of your constraints will be external, outside yourself and your business. Start the process of constraint analysis by asking, what is it in me or my business that is holding me back from achieving my goal? In many cases, you will find that the main constraint between you and your goal is a fear of failure or a fear of rejection. This fear is holding you back from taking the actions necessary to accomplish what you want and need. Your deep-rooted fears and doubts are often manifested or expressed in your excuses. Very often, your excuses are cleverly formulated reasons that you inadvertently use to position yourself as a victim, a person who has no choice or control over what is going on. When you make excuses or blame others, you let yourself off the hook. You absolve yourself from ever having to do anything to correct your situation. Don't let this happen to you. The second type of constraint, the other 20% of bottlenecks, is external. They are contained in the actions or non-actions of other people. These external constraints may have to do with markets, customers, sales, bank approvals, payments of receivables, and other factors. Even if your main constraints are external, somewhat outside of your control, there's almost always something that you can do to address them and deal with them in some way. Once you've identified your main constraints in each area of activity, focus single-mindedly like a laser beam on alleviating that one major constraint. Don't busy yourself with little problems around the edges. Focus on the one major limit that is holding you back more than any other factor. Removing this constraint can assist you in the achievement of your most important goal faster than anything else you can do. Get on with it. Number 10, and perhaps most important of all, tap into your higher powers. You have within you right now great mental and spiritual powers that you can tap into to solve any problem or achieve any goal. Perhaps the most effective way to get through a crunch time in your life is to turn to these special resources and use them to overcome any obstacle or resolve any difficulty. Throughout the ages, this great power has been called many things. In the Bible, it is referred to as the Holy Spirit. Napoleon Hill, after interviewing 500 of the richest men in America, called it infinite intelligence. He found that virtually all these wealthy men attributed their success in business to their habitual use of this greater mind. Many psychologists and mystics refer to it as the superconscious mind or the collective unconscious. Ralph Waldo Emerson called it the oversoul. If you're spiritually inclined, you will see this as the God mind or the power of God available to you and working through you wherever you are and whenever you want. In the Bible, this power is referred to as a very present help in trouble. It is always available anywhere and anytime. You need only turn to it in any difficulty, and this great power will become available to you. This power can solve any problem, resolve any difficulty, and give you the insights and ideas you need to surmount any obstacle. It is easy to contact. You can use meditation, contemplation, solitude, or prayer to make your connection with this power at any time, including this very moment. The most powerful way to tune in to this greater mind is for you to develop an attitude of faith, an attitude of calm, confident expectation that all will be well. This mental attitude seems to be the catalyst that causes this greater mind to activate and go to work in your life. When you turn to this great power, it will automatically and continuously solve every problem on the path to your goal, as long as your goal is clear. In crunch time, however, in times of turbulence and confusion, your long-term goals may be fuzzy and contradictory. For this reason, to tap into this great power, your goals should be, first of all, peace of mind, and second of all, a happy resolution to whatever challenges you are facing. The calmer you are, the more rapidly this spiritual power works to solve your problems and get you out of the crunch. Sometimes this power works immediately. It is said that God is ready the moment you are. The wonderful thing about this power is that the greater trust you have in it, the more rapidly and predictably it works, sometimes in the most unexpected ways. There's a story of a farm boy who was playing one day, walking on the top of the corrugated tin roof of a three-story barn. Suddenly he slipped, lost his balance, and began sliding toward the edge of the 30-foot drop. Panicking, he called out, "God, please help me." Just at that moment, his pants caught on a nail, and he stopped sliding. He looked up and said, "Never mind, God. My pants are caught on a nail." Many people are like that little boy. They pray for a resolution to their problem, and when it comes, they fail to recognize its source. Once you put in your order for help in getting out of a crunch, you must remain open to all the little things that are happening around you. Your solution may come in the form of a phone call, a magazine or newspaper article, or a casual remark at an unexpected time. The rule is that whatever you want, wants you. Be alert and aware. Talk to yourself positively to keep yourself in the right frame of mind. One of the things that I say over and over to myself is this: I believe in the perfect outcome of every situation in my life because God is in complete control. Some of my favorite words from the Bible are, "The will of God for me is always good and perfect and acceptable." By repeating sentences like this, you attune yourself to this higher power and enable it to work through you and for you. Throughout history, great men and women have been men and women of faith. It is said that a person becomes great when he begins to take time to spend quietly with himself or herself. The way that you tune in to this higher power on a regular basis is by taking time off to sit in the silence, to pray or meditate in complete solitude. During this period of prayer or solitude, you simply let your mind relax. Don't worry or try to think about anything, especially your problem. One technique to help you achieve this calm mental state is to think about water while you are sitting quietly. Think about a deep pool of still water, or even better, sit and look at a swimming pool or lake. This activity seems to calm your mind at a deep level. The practice of solitude requires a minimum of 30 minutes and longer if possible. For the first 20 minutes that you spend in solitude, you'll have an almost irresistible urge to get up and do something. Your mind may jump around from subject to subject, but you must remain still. After 20 or 25 minutes, you will start to relax, and your mind will become calm and clear like a mountain lake. Then, as you sit there quietly, allowing your mind to float freely, exactly the answer you need to your most pressing problem will arise in your consciousness. You will receive an insight or an inspiration to do something that will turn out in retrospect to be exactly the right thing for you to have done at that time. Each time you tap into this power, which is always available to you, it becomes easier to do so in the future, and it will work even more rapidly. Prayer, meditation, and solitude are perhaps the most powerful of all methods you can use to get yourself out of any crunch in work or personal life. Take the time to connect with the higher power. Now let's pull it all together. There is no problem you cannot solve, no difficulty you cannot overcome, and no crisis that you cannot deal with when you use your incredible powers of mind and character. Remind yourself that all of life is a test of some kind, and you only fail the test if you give up. Here are 10 things that you can do to take complete charge of anything that happens to you in the challenging weeks and months ahead. Number 1, stay calm. Take a deep breath and refuse to become upset or angry. Lower your emotional flashpoint by asking questions and thinking only about possible solutions. Number 2, be confident in your abilities. Remind yourself that you have successfully handled all kinds of difficulties in the past, and you can handle this problem as well. Number 3, dare to go forward. Unexpected reversals and setbacks often stun you into a form of paralysis, triggering the fight or flight reaction. Instead, think of specific actions you can take immediately to remedy the situation. Number 4, get the facts. Events are seldom as bad as they first appear. Take the time to find out exactly what has happened before you make a decision. Number 5, take control. Accept 100% responsibility for dealing effectively with the problem or crisis. Refuse to make excuses or blame anyone else. Focus on the future and what can be done rather than the past, which cannot be changed. Number 6, cut your losses. Don't cry over spilt milk. Practice zero-based thinking and ask, knowing what I now know, is there anything that I wouldn't start up again today or get into if I had to do it over? Be prepared to walk away from a situation that cannot be saved. Number 7, manage the crisis. This is the testing time that always comes to leaders, adults, and people in positions of responsibility. Take charge, make a plan, and get busy resolving the problem. Number 8, communicate constantly. Tell everyone who is affected by the crisis exactly what is going on. Practice a no surprises policy. Keep people inside and outside of your organization informed and ask for input and assistance. Number 9, identify your constraints. Determine the most important goal or objective you need to accomplish to resolve your problem, and then identify the key constraints, the limiting factor that determines the speed at which you attain that goal. Focus on alleviating that single constraint. Number 10, tap into your higher powers. Remember, there is a great universal mind available to you that can solve any problem and enable you to achieve any goal. All great people place their faith in this higher power and trust it to guide and inspire them regularly, especially in crunch time. Take an hour in solitude and listen for the still, small voice within. It will always tell you what you need to hear and what to do. Finally, resolve to persist until you succeed. Your decision that you will never give up is the ultimate guarantor of your eventual success. You will face a continual series of problems and difficulties throughout your life, but as you face up to and surmount each one, you become all you are capable of becoming and grow more surely toward the stars. This is Brian Tracy, and thank you. Now, I'd like to give you a free gift as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal supporter of mine and a determined continuous learner. So find out what I've been working on lately and receive your special at www.briantracy.com/learner. That's www.briantracy.com/learner. Just go there right now and see what I've got for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to talking to you and maybe even seeing you soon.